This is Our Americas, the weekly report on Latin America and the Caribbean. I'm Mario Murillo. In the next half hour, we'll take a look back at the presidential elections in Colombia. Conservative opposition candidate Andrés Pastrana defeated the ruling party's candidate in the June 21st runoff, promising to begin serious peace negotiations with that country's armed insurgency. Will Pastrana be to the rebels what President Nixon was to China, or will his ultra-right backers in the military and business class prevent him from carrying out a true dialogue? First, we'll talk to veteran journalist and author Anna Carrigan about the significance of the elections. Then we'll hear from the international spokesperson of the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, who'll tell us what they think of the new president. Coming up next on Our Americas. On August 7th, 44-year-old Andrés Pastrana will be inaugurated as Colombia's 37th president, breaking the 12-year grip the ruling Liberal Party has held on the country's highest office. The transition process is already underway between Pastrana's team and the current president, Ernesto Samper. Ironically, it was Samper who defeated Pastrana in the 1994 elections, only to have his presidency spoiled by Pastrana's public snitching about Samper's alleged links to the Cali cocaine cartel. This time around, Pastrana beat out Samper's hand-picked successor, Horacio Serpa, by a 51-46% margin in the second round of voting, sending shockwaves throughout the Liberal Party establishment. The former mayor of Bogotá will be taking over the presidency with promises to deal with the country's troubled economy. But perhaps more importantly, he says he's ready to begin a comprehensive peace negotiation with the country's growing guerrilla movement, specifically the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, the FARC, and the National Liberation Army, the ELN. But for observers of the Colombian political scene, these developments recall the famous words of Hall of Fame catcher Yogi Berra. It's like deja vu all over again. Every 4 years, whenever a new president gets elected, there's always hope that peace will finally come to Colombia, only to have those hopes dashed when the political honeymoon expires. Joining us now to talk about the elections is veteran journalist Anna Carrigan, who's been covering Colombia for many years. She herself is half Colombian. Anna Carrigan is the author of the book The Palace of Justice, A Colombian Tragedy. Anna, is there reason to be optimistic about this new president, Andrés Pastrana? What do you think?
Well, I think it's a very confusing moment because the natural peacemaker seemed to have been Serpa. And what is confusing, I find, is the attitude of the FARC, of the major guerrilla movement, who went deliberately out of their way in the last 3 days of the campaign to slam Serpa and praise and say that they were supporting Pastrana, they wanted to negotiate with Pastrana. That's basically that was the message that they sent out, which was published in Colombia on the 21st. Oh no, not on the 21st. 21st was the vote, but 3 days before, on the Thursday, the vote was on Sunday. And according to all the analysis that I've read, that announcement by the FARC and their attitude pushed Pastrana over the top. That's what gave him his victory. I think there was another aspect to this whole thing, which was what lost Serpa the election, that he, in a presumably a desperate bid to keep the army on board, if he were to be the president, made the announcement that he would appoint the very extreme right-wing liberal former governor of Antioquia, Álvaro Uribe, to be the Minister of Defense. And I think that in that last week, those two things, Serpa saying, we're going to have Uribe Vélez as a Minister of Defense in my government, and the FARC saying, we want to talk to Pastrana, we would like to negotiate with Pastrana, lost Serpa the election and made it inevitable that Pastrana would win. A sophisticated analysis of it would be, and it may indeed be the correct one, that the guerrillas decided quite some time ago that if you were going to negotiate peace, you negotiate the old thing. If you're going to negotiate peace, you negotiate with your enemy, not with the people who might be closer to your point of view. And that in order to make the peace stick, you had to negotiate with a right-wing government who would be able to bring the army with them. Mm-hmm. And bring the forces of the right who would normally oppose any negotiation with the guerrilla and get them involved and get them on board. That's presumably what was behind this. The difficulty that I anticipate is that the people around Pastrana, like Rafael Pardo, who was a former Minister of Defense for Gaviria, they've been saying things like, well, we don't see there's going to be any problem about a negotiation because we've already done a negotiation. I mean, our team, our negotiating team, who negotiated with the EPL and with the M19 in 1990, is still in place, and we just can go right ahead. Well, that was a very different kind of negotiation than what I understand the FARC wants. The FARC is not going to stop 40 years of struggling for a new political order, which is basically what they want, very substantial and very radical changes and reforms on the basis of give us a bodyguard, give us a taxi, give us an apartment, and give us a job in the government and we'll be happy. I mean, that's not the way the FARC operates, and that won't go.
Which have been the failures of the previous negotiations.
Which has been the past, which has been the story in the past. I mean, in the past, every peace negotiation has failed on two grounds. Number one, because those who came in from the mountains and put down their guns did so for too little. They accepted too little, I would say. They did not get a political change, they didn't get social change, they didn't get the military reforms, they didn't get the fundamental reforms that the long-term insurgency has been all about, the reason they've been fighting. And then they came in, and unless they were very lucky, and just a handful of them who were very protected, they got knocked off as soon as they put down their guns. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was the wipeout of the UP.
Just to remind the listeners, once again, we're speaking with Anna Carrigan, who is an independent journalist and author who's covered Colombia for many years. Anna, given that scenario which you just laid out, can Pastrana, a conservative, somebody who's more militarist, if you will, can he bring the country to a peace? Can he, first of all, on the one hand, get the trust of the FARC, and at the same time, get the trust of the military, which seems to be the always difficult balance that one has to keep in negotiating any kind of peace in Colombia?
Well, I think there's one very, very new element in this at this moment, which has never been there before, and it's tremendously important. I think it's the most important thing. There is now a very broad and very strong coalition in the civic society for peace. And this goes right across from industrialists, businessmen, policemen, students, intellectuals, housewives, peasants, some people, then they will naturally be on board. But this is a really immensely important convergence of forces in Colombia, which has never been there before. And it seems to me that the most vital thing, if these negotiations are going to work, is that both the government, the new government, and the guerrillas take what those people are saying on board and incorporate bring them onto the negotiation table. It seems to me that the move towards peace is not being driven by the combatants. They didn't originate this movement. This movement originated in the grassroots. It was revealed for the first time last October when 10 million people went out and voted for a peace plank, for a peace ballot. It was revealed again on May 19th last, when there was this immense, peaceful, very moving demonstration across the country in all of the cities in favor of peace, against the killings, against the impunity for political crime, which has protected and promoted the war. So I think that that's where one has to look for hope. And also, in Pastrana's case, that is the glue that should be able to keep the army and the guerrillas on board this time.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of like, I don't know, would you say it's sort of like the Nixonization of Colombia, in the sense that Nixon was able to reach out to China and this conservative new president might be able to be the one to bridge the gap?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That is very much, I'm sure, I would think that must be the way that the FARC is thinking. I'm sure that I feel very positive that the FARC are very serious about peace this time. It seems all the indications are that they are not only very serious about negotiating peace with the government and with the Colombian people, as it were, but that they are also very serious about negotiating peace in Washington, and that they want out of the drug business. They don't want to go on being regarded as narco-guerrillas because they protect the peasant growers of the coca plants and all of the very murky alliances which that has dragged them into with traffickers I mean, I believe the reports that the U.S. Intelligence Task Force, which went out and investigated their role in 96 and various other reports since, all of the consensus seems is that in the intelligence community, the as far as we know it, the consensus is that the FARC are not trafficking. They are not in the drug business to that, you know, that extent. They're not shipping. They're not. They may not even be producing. I'm not sure about that. But they are protecting the growth of the plants, and they want out of that. It would seem offered. It is reported that they have offered the administration in Washington that they will get out of that business in return for aid to develop alternative crops. But it isn't that simple, because mm-hmm. you can't just develop alternative crops in areas which have no infrastructure and no access to markets. So it's a very enormous mm-hmm. problem.
Well, clearly there are a lot of factors. As the U.S., there's, of course, the guerrillas and the military, but there's another factor which we haven't touched yet, and that's on the paramilitaries. I do want to remind listeners, though, to tune in, because in just a few moments we will be hearing from the spokesperson of the FARC, the international spokesperson of the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, Marco León Calarcá, who will give us his perspective on these elections and what they mean for a potential peace negotiation. But given what you just laid out again, talking about the issue of a substitution of crop cultivation, we've covered it in the past here on Our Americas. Pastrana, as the new president, as somebody who says he's serious about peace, he's actually talked about what he calls the Colombian Marshall Plan, in a sense, trying to develop the areas, trying to get international cooperation and assistance, economic assistance, to try to give an alternative to these peasants throughout the country that are forced to cultivate coca. What's your sense of that? Is this more rhetoric, or is this guy finally grounded in reality in terms of what some of the situation, what some of the complexities are in those regions?
I think it's a time to wait and see. One can only, as it were, cross one's fingers and hope that he means that he has a serious commitment to something like that. But then what does that mean? It means enormous investment. I mean, can you imagine? You've got 200,000 coca growers just in the Guaviare area, right? Just in Putumayo and all around there, who have, you know, they're 4 days away from any market. There are no roads. There's absolutely nothing that they can grow that they can get to a market. So how are they going to put food on the table for their families if they stop growing cocoa? Well, it can't happen just like that. Indeed, I don't know.
The major factor, I think, and I've been saying it for a while now, and I think a lot of people would agree, that may be an obstacle to peace, is the role of the paramilitaries in this, the right-wing forces that have traditionally been allied and worked and created a creation of the military, and of course, and to a certain extent, creation of the U.S. Through the support of the U.S. military support that they've given to the Colombian Armed Forces for so many years. But they're a major economic, political, and military factor in Colombia right now. They've grown, and they're there. We cannot ignore them when one talks about peace, regardless of what some people would like to think. You know, they would like to say, well, let them disappear and let's just negotiate between the FARC and the government. Maybe you can just give us your sense of what you think the role that the paramilitaries may indeed play in a future peace negotiation.
I agree with you. I think this is a tremendously difficult problem. I don't know. Again, what have we heard? Well, the only thing we've heard from Pastrana on this subject is that he believes that they ought to end up this negotiation by giving an amnesty to everybody. Well, if you give an amnesty to everybody, you're giving an amnesty to mass murderers, to people who have killed, who have been behind the assassinations of the entire civilian wing of the FARC, as it were. I mean, the UP party, which came out of the FARC, which was the first time we had a possibility of an opposition party of the left in Colombia, were wiped out in 5 years, over 3,000 people dead, the rest of them in exile, people still being shot because they're the ones that hang around. You have to talk about amnesty for people who've been behind the assassinations of major, very important, a whole generation of leaders has been killed in the last decade. I don't know. I don't think amnesty is a viable option. And I also think, again, you have to come back to what is civic society saying. The civic society has got an enormously interesting agenda that they want to bring into the negotiations. And on that agenda are extremely fundamental points like they want a truth commission, they want military reforms, social and economic reforms, land reforms, and they want a truth commission. Now, it seems to me that if there is to be peace in Colombia, this is a very long road and a very difficult road, but it can't be shortcut. If you take shortcuts and you come out of it and say, you know, we'll have some guerrillas in the government and we'll have... I mean, they've done that. They brought Antonio Navarro into Gaviria's government. What did that prove to anybody? Absolutely zilch. I mean, zero.
Antonio Navarro being the former leader of the M19, the guerrilla group.
Right. So it's not, that's not what's at stake. I mean, what is at stake here is a tremendously exciting possibility that Colombia can become the country that so many thousands of people have died for, have fought for, have struggled for, the people.
Just a quick reminder, we're speaking with Anna Carrigan, an independent journalist and author who's covered Colombia, and we're quickly running out of time, Anna, and unfortunately, just wanted to get your last thoughts again a little bit about the U.S. role. Again, looking at the Nation magazine's June 29th article, it says that the U.S. must play a role, and everybody keeps talking about the new relationship that this conservative president, Pastrana, who doesn't have the baggage that Ernesto Samper had with the U.S., is going to lead to some new relations, positive relations, constructive relations with the United States. What role does the U.S. play in this, I guess we can say, new etapa, new era in Colombian politics?
Well, it's obviously the U.S. has a tremendously important role to play, and there is absolutely no, at this moment, there is no clear indication that it will play it, for the very simple reason that the U.S. has a double policy, a kind of schizophrenic policy in Colombia, and that at the moment they are split wide open in Washington with the State Department and some of the Congress on one side, and the Pentagon and some of the National Security Council people and the right-wing Senate, including leaders, very important leaders in the Senate, who are now taking an interest, like Mr. Helms, and who are now convinced that you have to defeat the guerrillas in Colombia militarily. And this road, this leads to El Salvador, this leads to every kind of horror. You know, there's a scenario out there which says when the peace fails, then the elites in Colombia, who have not yet really hurt with this war, will start really hurting, and then they will invite the Colombian army to come in and sort things out, and that is scorched earth, and it's unbelievable horrors lie ahead should that happen. But it is the scenario that happened in the 50s when the civilians sent for General Rojas, or part of the Colombian civilian elite sent for General Rojas to come in and sort out the guerrilla, the problems of violence and guerrillas then. And then, as we all know, they took it back again after 4 years and tied it up in a nice, tight little package that wouldn't let anybody else in. So we've had 30 years, 40 years of guerrilla fighting ever since. It's an extremely dangerous moment, and Washington has an enormous role to play if it will row in behind the civic society in Colombia is saying, which is, we need to make a new country. We need to be the country we've never had a chance to be. We've broken out of the two-party system. The two-party system is completely discredited after Samper. It's finished. That's why the liberals weren't even able to turn out the vote with their enormous machines. And now we need, for the first time, Colombia to be a democratic country with a pluralistic parties and an army and that they can be proud of, which knows how to behave in a democracy.
Anna Carrigan is author of the book The Palace of Justice, A Colombian Tragedy. And you're listening to Our Americas, the weekly report on Latin America and the Caribbean. To get a sense of what the FARC are thinking now that Pastrana has been elected president of Colombia, we turn to Marco León Calarcá, the international spokesperson of the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia. I first asked him to comment on the meaning of Pastrana's victory.
Bueno, nosotros, pues sencillamente, mantenemos o manteníamos nuestra posición de denunciar.
We continue to maintain our position denouncing the elections as being anti-democratic and corrupt. But nevertheless, we knew that there would be a winner, which in this case was Andrés Pastrana. So what we hope from him is that he has the ability and the political will to initiate a peace process in our country. Our proposal in terms of a dialogue, our proposals in terms of a future negotiation are already on the table, and we're waiting for the new government to take over, to see whether or not we will be able to begin talks.
Marco León Calarcás, some analysts in the U.S. and in Colombia have stated that had it not been for the last-minute meeting between a representative of Pastrana's office with the commander-in-chief of the FARC, Manuel Marulanda, perhaps Serpa, the Liberal Party candidate, would have won the election on June 21st. They're basically saying that the public meeting just days before the election tilted the balance in favor of Pastrana in the eyes of Colombian public opinion. What's your sense about this? Did the FARC play a role in Pastrana's victory?
No, pues, que eso lo que muestra es la...
What this demonstrates is the importance of the FARC, the weight that the organization carries inside the country. But before the elections, we were carrying out a number of activities and made it very clear that we did not have a favorite candidate.
Bastante actividad y siempre sosteniendo que no teníamos ningún candidato, ¿no? Hay mucha gente que dice que
there are a lot of people who say that the meeting between Pastrana's representative and Commander Marulanda had some effect on the vote, and perhaps this is true. But all this really shows is, once again, the importance and the social impact that the FARC has on Colombia. So because of this meeting, some people thought that we were friends with the Pastrana campaign, but we've denied this. Now what we're hoping is that his election will mean the beginning of a new way in Colombia.
Pero bueno, esperemos que todo lo que significa su elección para la estructura del país despeje los caminos hacia la nueva Colombia.
When you say that you hope that Pastrana has the political will to carry out a true dialogue, what are you looking for? I mean, he's been making a number of public statements which seem to be in line with what the FARC has always demanded. For instance, he says that he would call for an end to the fumigations in some of the areas where the FARC have a strong presence. He's also, as you pointed out, called for the demilitarization of 5 municipalities where the dialogue could take place, as well as the need to have an international Marshall Plan to help develop some of the areas devastated by the war, specifically the areas where the FARC do have a large presence. Are these not signs of political willingness on the part of the new government?
Bueno, pues por ahora parece que sí, ¿no? Por ahora...
Well, for now it looks like yes. Up to now, everything points to an apparent willingness to begin this process of reconstruction and national reconciliation. There are some minimal necessary conditions that have to be met. These include the demilitarization of 5 municipalities, the dismantling of the paramilitary organizations, the decriminalization of social protests, an end to the bounties which have been put on the lives of FARC commanders, and to change the language which they use to describe the current reality. To drop some of the adjectives used to delegitimize us. This doesn't help in coming to an understanding. From there, we can say that as long as there are minimum security guarantees, then we can begin the process that all Colombians are waiting for. Up to now, Pastrana is saying the right things. Hopefully, all of this is true, and that once he gets in power, once he takes over, he'll begin to develop the mechanisms needed to make this happen.
Y ya posicionado ya en el poder desarrolle toda esa capacidad para iniciar pues el proceso.
But Pastrana has already said that he intends to carry out 2 distinct sets of negotiations, one with the guerrillas, with the FARC and with the ELN, and one with the paramilitary forces. Does this run counter to some of your demands regarding the paramilitaries?
Eso es como desconocer realmente el tema, ¿no? Eso es como desconocer la realidad.
It's, in a sense, not recognizing the reality of the situation. Because the paramilitaries are not a phenomenon apart from the state, apart from the army. The paramilitaries are an extension of the army in charge of the dirty war. So, to pretend to have a parallel negotiation with them, well, I cannot understand how someone can have a conversation with oneself. Because they are one and the same. They are the state. They are the government. The establishment.
Porque son ellos mismos, es el propio Estado, son los propios gobiernos, el establecimiento.
I asked Calarcás what the FARC had to do to try to win political points in terms of public opinion in Colombia, now that President-elect Andrés Pastrana was in the limelight in the wake of his victory on June 21st.
No, pues nosotros pensamos que no tenemos que hacer nada, tampoco necesitamos ganar puntos para llegar a la mesa de conversaciones. No nos interesa,
we don't think,
digamos,
that we have to do anything to win political points
mismo,
to
no?
make it to the negotiating
nosotros,
table. We're not interested in playing the same game. We maintain our positions. We maintain our will for peace. We maintain our interpretation of the popular sentiment. And we maintain the support that we continue getting from the Colombian people, a support which has enabled us to exist. So I don't think that we have to carry out any activities or any specific plans in order to obtain this.
Que recibimos por parte de la población colombiana, que es lo que precisamente nos permite nuestra existencia, ¿no? Entonces pensamos que no es como necesario entrar a hacer acciones específicas o a desarrollar planes específicos para tener eso, ¿no?
Marco León Calarcá is the international spokesperson of the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, the FARC. Calarcá says although President-elect Andrés Pastrana has proposed meeting with the commander-in-chief of the FARC, Manuel Marulanda Vélez, up to now nothing has been set up, adding that there has been no official response from the high command of the guerrillas. We'll, of course, keep you updated on this very crucial point in Colombian history in future editions of Our Americas. Next week, for instance, we'll have a report about United States pressure on the Colombian government to use a toxic herbicide in its coca fumigation campaign, which has raised the ire of environmentalists both in Colombia and here in the United States. And that's about all the time we have on today's program. Our Americas is produced at the studios of WBAI Pacifica Radio in cooperation with NACLA, the North American Congress on Latin America. It is funded in part by grants from the Paul Robeson Fund for Independent Media, the Funding Exchange, and the New York State Council on the Arts. Associate producers are Carlos Andres Perez, Sarah Gill, Walter Krockmal, and Laura Tarantini. Special thanks to Anna Carrigan and Victoria Maldonado. If you have any questions or comments, you can send us an email at mmcompa@igc.org. That's mmcompa@igc.org. For Our Americas, I'm Mario Murillo. Thanks for listening, and stay strong.